Thank you very much, Ruth and Victoria. We thank you for bringing us to the cross and for those beautiful pieces. And we look forward to hearing from you again at the close of the meeting. Let me again thank you for joining with us here this afternoon. We thank you for taking the time. Do remember that we're back again next Lord's Day, same time, same place, in the will of the Lord, 3:30 in the afternoon. God willing, I'll be here to preach the gospel. And John Lydiard, you'll see John walking about with a yellow coat on. Well, John will be taking off the yellow jacket and he'll be joining me here as he will be ministering in song next Lord's Day. So do come back again, encourage others to come along, and we look forward to see what God will do through the preaching of the Word of God. So we're coming to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this afternoon. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse number 1, please. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, this the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as ever, we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, an errant and inspired word. The way things are going at the moment with the cost of living crisis and money becoming scarce and things becoming much more expensive, it would seem that nearly to try and make ends meet nearly seems impossible. It seems at best difficult, at worst perhaps for some even impossible. There are many things in life that appear to us to be impossible. When it comes to the matter of salvation, I want to talk about the devil's devices for a short time this afternoon. I believe one of the aims of the devil is to make you believe that it's not only difficult for you to get saved, but perhaps even to plant into your heart that it's impossible for you to get saved. Maybe you're saying to yourself this afternoon, well, I can understand how my wife might get saved. I can understand how my husband might get saved. I can understand some of the children putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I look at my life, when I look where I am, when I consider what I have done, then perhaps the devil has convinced you that this is nigh impossible, or perhaps even impossible. The devil doesn't want you to get saved. I want you to get that into your heart here this afternoon. Satan will do whatever he can, in whatever every way he can, and at every opportunity he can, to keep you from coming to Christ, in order to keep you out of heaven and take you to a lost sinner's hell. Paul calls Satan in our reading this afternoon the God of this world. The Lord Jesus Christ called him the prince of this world in John 12 verse 31. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 verse 2 that before we were saved, that we walked according to the course of this world. As I said, the devil will make it as difficult as possible for you ever to come and trust Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And even as Christians here this afternoon, sometimes we can nearly be at the point of giving up on others. We can think to ourselves it's so difficult to see people saved. Lives are so caught up in sin. And perhaps sometimes we even feel that it's impossible for some people to trust the Lord. And yet we keep going. And yet we keep striving with the gospel. What is the motivation for the child of God? What's the motivation for the saints this afternoon? Well, if you look at verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, God has given us a wonderful ministry. all of us who are saved, the Lord said, I will make you fishers of men. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have a God-given ministry to share the gospel with others. Some can do it one-to-one. Some are gifted in the preaching of the word, or some will do it in many other ways. But we have a responsibility. So we have the ministry upon us. But then it goes a little bit further. Seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we realize what we once were. We realize that we were sinners on the way to a Christless hell. We realize we deserved absolutely nothing, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ reached down and saved us. We deserve to be punished for our sin, but He went to Calvary. We deserve that we one day would end up in a lost sinner's hell, but because of Calvary, because of Christ, one day we're going to be in heaven. We didn't earn it, we didn't achieve it, we didn't deserve it. It's all because of the grace and mercy of God. And because God has been merciful to us, we have to tell you about Jesus, the mighty to save. What a motivation for sins. We have the ministry, we have the mercy, and indeed we have the mess. It says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The Bible says, if you're not saved, you're lost. What a word to describe. I remember going to take a meeting in Londonderry Baptist Church quite a number of years ago when the Baptist Church was on the old city sign. And I wasn't too sure of the city. And I remember ending up in the bog sign. I'd never been there in my life before. I could see all the murals. And to be quite honest, I couldn't get out of it quick enough. I was lost. Nobody likes to be lost. And if you have an understanding of how lost you are this afternoon, you will want to get saved as quick as you can. Because you're lost, we have a desire to see you saved. And that's why we're here this afternoon. That's why Ruth and Victoria are singing. That's why we're preaching the gospel. That's why we've been here every Lord's Day afternoon without a break. Practically, we may have been away a couple of Sundays. Over this past nearly 2 years, maybe even longer than 2 years, I've lost count of time. We're here because we want you to get saved. We don't want you to be lost. Wouldn't it be an awful thing for someone who has sat in this car park over these months, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, listen to the singing, listen to the gospel, and still you could be in a lost sinner's hell. We're concerned about the mess that sin will make of your life. We're concerned about where sin will take you, and where sin will lead you, and where sin will keep you. That's the motivation for the sins. There's a battle for your soul. We're on the side of God. Whose side are you on this afternoon? This is the motivation for the saints. Let me talk about the munitions of Satan. Nobody really knows what weapons Putin has. He talks about this weapon. He calls it Satan too. And apparently he thinks he can fire a weapon from Russia and it'll wipe out the United Kingdom in 5 minutes. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. I don't know whether they will ever use it or even intend to use it. I couldn't get into the mind of a man like that. But there's no doubt he has deadly weapons. We have seen some of the destruction and some of the death that he's poured out upon the people in Ukraine. Even his own people, he seems not to care about them. But I don't want to think about his weapons so much. I want to think about the weapons that the old devil wants to use to keep you in your sin and to keep you from coming and trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. Paul has been accused here. In fact, Paul has been insulted by even some of God's people here. They're questioning his motivation, and he tells them in verse 2 that we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. And Paul is defending himself here. Paul says, check me out. My testimony's here for everyone to see. I'm not into dishonesty. I'm not into craftiness. I'm not into deceit. I'm not into blinding people to their need. But I just took some of these words. And what Paul wasn't doing is exactly what the devil will do. And perhaps what he's doing in your life. Think of the shamefulness attached to Satan. Verse 2, Paul says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. That word dishonesty in other places is translated by the word shame. And let me give you a little bit of background to the word. Jude uses it in verse 13. He talks about raging waves of sea, foaming out their own shame. If you've ever been at the coast, if you've ever been at the north coast, sometimes you'll see the sea comes in when the tide's in, and you can see the foam upon it, and it looks nice, and you have all this nice white foam. And when the foam goes away, if you look at the beach, it's covered in rubbish. It's covered in debris. There's waste everywhere. There's filth everywhere. And there's a lot of things that are covered over that you can't really see. That's what the devil does. He doesn't give you the whole picture. He doesn't tell you what sin will do. When Achan in the Old Testament decided to take the Babylonish garment and the shekels of silver, you know, he thought he was going to be richer. He thought things would be better for him. The devil didn't tell him in the midst of his sin that he would die and his family would die and they would go to hell. Devil covers up. Devil doesn't tell the one that takes the drink, you're going to end up an alcoholic. The devil doesn't tell the drug addict, you're going to become an addict and this is going to kill you and destroy your life. The devil doesn't tell you that sin that you're engaged in will eventually take you to the lake of fire. They are the things that are dishonest, the things that are covered. He has no shame whatsoever, I'm sure. When you read about the rich man in Luke 16, when he died and was buried, and it says in hell, he opened up his eyes being in torments. You know, when he was living life to the full, when he was eating like a horse and living like a king, and he didn't care about God, he didn't care about eternity, the devil didn't tell him, this isn't going to end well for you. And just like the foam that comes in when the tide comes in and leaves a mess behind it, the devil won't tell you about the mess that you're in and where it's going to take you. There are the hidden things of dishonesty. But there's a little bit more here. Not only the shamefulness, but the subtlety. Verse 2, have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. That word craftiness means trickery. It's translated in 2 Corinthians 11 by the word subtlety. It's used of Eve. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And the old devil was subtle. At the context in 2 Corinthians is false preachers and those who the devil uses to lead people astray. But you remember what the devil said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3? I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know, you're missing out. You know that God knows when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're just going to become a god. And God wants to spoil your life. God wants to rob you of things. God wants you to lose out. You know, he was using trickery. He was being subtle. Nothing was further from the truth. I wonder, is that why you're not saved? Because you feel you're going to lose out. As the devil told you, you know, once you get saved, all fun is over. Once you get saved, you're going to live a miserable, sad life. You're not going to be able to do the things that you love to do. Has the devil filled your mind with all of these lies like he did to Eve? You see the shamefulness. You see the subtlety. What weapon is old devil using on you when it comes to shamefulness, subtlety? But then, of course, he can use the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. You know how the devil uses the word of God? Yes, he knows the scriptures. When the Lord Jesus was being tempted in Matthew 4 verse 6, The devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, but he leaves a bit out. And the devil never gives you the full picture. He misquotes and misuses and twists scripture. Again, do you remember what he said to Eve? Hath God said? And he loves to take the word of God and he wants to cast doubt upon it. He wants to twist it. He wants to make it say something that it never said. The devil doesn't want you to believe that there is a hell to be shunned. The devil doesn't want you to believe that there is a heaven. He doesn't want you to believe that you cannot get there by your good works. He's happy enough for you to depend on your church. He's happy for you to depend on your religion. That's no problem to the devil at all. He doesn't want you to realize that this book teaches that it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's the only way you can ever be ready for heaven and ready for home. You know, the word of God, we're told in Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. You know, when you read the scriptures, you discover that they can quicken us. They make us alive. They give us faith, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They guide us. They direct us. They help us clean our lives up. And the devil wants to take the scriptures and cast doubt upon them. How good a job is he doing with you? Has he made you feel that you can't get saved? That you never could get saved? Has he taught you that you don't need to get saved? He doesn't mind which lie he'll tell. You see his shamefulness, his subtlety. You see what he tries to do with the scriptures. We see the shining that he wants to stop. Perhaps the best known verse we read is verse number 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Has he stopped the word of God shining into your heart? Do you remember the rich young ruler? He says, Good master, what shall I do? You know, he was blinded by deeds. He thought he had to do something to get saved. He was blinded by greed. Oh, he was so rich, and he made his riches his God, and he wasn't prepared to walk away from them. He was blinded by greed. He was blinded by deeds. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were blinded by their creeds. They had a list of rules and regulations, and if you follow these rules and follow these regulations, this is all that you need. And they didn't realize they were being blinded by Satan, because he didn't want the glorious gospel, the gospel of the glorious Christ, to shine into their hearts. The devil is real. Listen. He doesn't want you to get saved. He doesn't want the light of the gospel to fall in your heart. He doesn't want you to have that moment when you can see it. I'm a sinner. Christ has died for sin. My only hope is in Christ Jesus. I need to turn from my sin and turn to Christ by faith. He doesn't want you to see it. He wants to blind you to it. And maybe you have your own way. And the devil's happy to pat you in the back and to tell you that your own way will do. You know this? There are those who are blinded by deeds and creeds and needs. But you know, if he can't stop the word of God getting through, do you know what he'll do? We read in Luke 8 verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh the word out of their hearts. He'll steal the very word of God out of your heart. Let me tell you here this afternoon, as the gospel is going forth, And as the word of God falls onto your heart, the devil will be doing what he can to put his hand into your heart, take the word of God out and steal it away. Here's why. In Luke 8 verse 12, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil believes that you could be saved, even if you don't. And he will steal away the word of God, that you might be blinded and lost in hell for all eternity. He will do whatever it takes, whenever it takes it, wherever he is, to keep you from coming to Christ. You see the motivation for the saints? We have received mercy. We have to tell you about Jesus. You see the munitions of Satan? He will do whatever he can to keep you out of heaven. But you know, Paul continues. There's a message to share. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul says we're going to preach about Christ. No matter about the devil, no matter about what he's trying to do, we're going to preach Christ Jesus the Lord. He is Christ. He is the Son of God. He is Jesus. He became a man and yet was still fully God. He is Lord. He rose again and is exalted to the highest position. There's no name higher than his name this afternoon. Christ and Christ alone can save you. The devil offers shame. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. The devil uses subtlety. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The devil distorts scripture. We read of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. The devil doesn't want the gospel to shine. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Everything the devil tries, Jesus is the answer to it. Now will you come to Christ? Because he is the answer to your need here this afternoon. You see the motivation of saints? We have received mercy. You see the magicians of Satan? He will try whatever he can, whenever he can, wherever he can, to keep you from coming to Christ. We have a message to share. In spite of him, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Then we see the miracle of salvation. Don't believe the devil. You can get saved. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, this takes us back to creation. We're told that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's just what you're like. But you know, God said, God spoke, let there be light. And through the miracle of creation, there was light, and everything changed. And Paul takes that and says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. God can do a miracle of salvation in your heart. He can change the darkness to light. He can change death to life. He can take someone who's lost and save them. Someone who's hopeless and give them real hope. He can take all those old things. Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Lord wants to do a miracle for you in Riff Island this afternoon. He wants to put the light of the gospel into your heart, that you might be saved, that you might leave here following the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day you'll see Christ and you'll be with Christ for all eternity. Tell me, who will you listen to this afternoon? We've talked about the devil's devices. What is Satan using to keep you from coming to Christ? What is it? What is so enjoyable? So precious? What is it that you're so proud of that you're willing to go to hell for it? Because that's what it boils down to here this afternoon. During the Spanish-American War, there was a person called Clara Barton who, overseeing the work of the Red Cross in Cuba. One day, Theodore Roosevelt came to her and said, I need food for the sick. I need help for the wounded soldiers. Will you sell me something? He was told no. She said no. And she said no to Roosevelt. He was taken aback a little bit. And he says, why will you not sell me? I will pay for it, even out of my own funds. And when he pleaded with her, eventually she said, you don't have to pay for it. You just have to ask for it. Just ask for it. And it's free. And dear lost soul here this afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't have made it any simpler. He says, come without money and come without price. Just come as you are. Come as a sinner to Jesus. And I pray that the glorious light of the gospel of the glorious Christ will shine into your darkened heart even this afternoon. And I pray that you'll see it. That you'll really, really see it. And you'll take hold of Christ by faith and be saved. Don't let the devil take you to hell. Don't let him do it. It's time for you to come to Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the glorious gospel of Christ. We thank you for the miracle of salvation. And just like God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, Lord, we pray that the glorious light of the gospel will shine into some needy heart. And Lord, there'll be someone who will see it perhaps like they've never seen it before. See their own selves, guilty sinners in the sight of God. See that Christ went to Calvary to die for sin. And we pray that someone by faith will cry out to God for salvation even just now. Lord, will you work in hearts? Will you grant the saving grace and save precious souls here in Rough Island this afternoon? For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Ruth and Victoria are going to come and sing their final piece. Thank you.